There falls no shadow where there shines no sun. Hilaire Belloc. Part 1. The hawk swoops down on its prey. So does the Indian. Black Elk, Oglala Sioux Indian Chief, 1863 to 1950. The Child, Colorado, USA. The child had stopped crying half an hour earlier. It had screamed, kicked, and thrashed when he'd first taken it, and in between mumbled entreaties to release it, it had cried almost incessantly. But now it was still and quiet, as if all the fight had left it, and all the tears had simply been used up. They didn't all scream and cry and fight back. Some seemed to accept their fate almost noiselessly, while others struggled. This one had struggled. He was barely 8, dressed in a pair of jeans, holed at the knees, a grey t-shirt and a pair of trainers that had seen better days. The t-shirt was soaked with sweat, and one of the trainers had been torn as the boy had been dragged into the back of the van. Now he sat silently, bound at the wrists with heavy rope that had cut into the flesh in places. His feet were bound too, but now he just sat motionless, looking around, stretching his jaw to try and relieve the discomfort of the thick tape that had been dragged across his mouth to prevent him shouting. His cheeks were damp with tears, and he looked around the room he was being held in with wide, fear-filled eyes. He had no idea where he was, and no idea why he was there, and on both counts he was lucky, for had he realized the reason for his presence in this place, then he would probably have started screaming and crying again. He sniffed and continued to look around, both afraid and also puzzled by the bleakness of the room he found himself in. The walls were bare, brilliant white plaster. They were so white they were practically luminescent. There wasn't a mark on any of them, and the boy wondered if someone came in every day and repainted them, such was their perfectly pristine nature. And covering these walls was transparent plastic that reminded him of the kind of food wrap his mother used to place around his sandwiches before she placed them into his lunchbox on a school day. The thought of his mother made the boy whimper again. What he wouldn't give to be with his mother now. What he wouldn't give to be with anyone now, as long as he was free of this white room and the ropes that held him prisoner. She would come looking for him. His mother would come, so would his father, and they would find him. He was sure of that. He sniffed back more tears and shuffled uncomfortably on the bare wooden floor. There was a single door to his left, but even that was covered by the same transparent plastic that hung on the walls like a second skin. The boy pushed himself back against the wall and managed to straighten up. He felt uncomfortable. There was a horrible dampness around his groin where he'd wet himself earlier, the fear of being snatched having overcome him at the time. He felt uncomfortable, but he felt ashamed too. Boys of his age weren't supposed to wet themselves. He looked down at the wet patch on his jeans and felt like crying once again. Off to his left, he heard movement, and the door swung back on its hinges, causing the plastic sheeting to billow. A man entered the room. He was carrying a small holdall, and the boy looked at him, shuffling backwards against the wall as though he was attempting to melt into the plaster itself. He could feel the terror rising swiftly inside him once more. The man unzipped the holdall he was carrying and dug his hand swiftly inside. When the boy saw what was taken from within it, he began to shake uncontrollably.